This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, filling in for Terry Gross. The Montreal band Arcade Fire work with your standard set of instruments, guitars, keyboards, drums. But within their art rock anthems, there's also the sounds of accordions, pipe organs, xylophones, mandolins, dobros, violins, and the hurdy-gurdy, a centuries-old string instrument that's played by turning a crank. Arcade Fire was formed by our guests today, the husband and wife team Wynn Butler and Regine Chassan. The band gained attention in 2004 with their first album, Funeral. The record was dedicated to the memory of a number of the band's family members who had passed away, including Wynn Butler's grandfather, Alvino Ray, a pioneer of pedal steel guitar who led his own big band in the 40s. This spring, the band released their second album, Neon Bible, which was recorded in a Quebec church the band converted into a studio. Writing in the online magazine Pitchfork, Stephen M. Dusner says, if Funeral captured the enormity of personal pain, Neon Bible sounds large enough to take on the whole world. Terry Gross spoke with Arcade Fire in May. Here's a track from Neon Bible, Keep the Car Running.
Let's keep the car running from Arcade Fire's latest album, Neon Bible. Wynn Butler, Regine Chassan, welcome to Fresh Air. This album is so terrific. Now, what directions were you each heading in musically before you met?
I started out at university at Sarah Lawrence College in New York, and you know, partway through my first year, I kind of realized that I was spending all my time just recording on the four track, and it was kind of a absurd waste of money for me to be going to an expensive liberal arts school. So I dropped out and just started doing music pretty much. It just kind of occurred to me that I could be in a band, and that's kind of what I was spending all my energy on anyway. So kind of from that point on, I was just, you know, writing songs all the time and wanting to play for people. And so that's kind of the path I was on.
And Regine, what about you?
When we met, I had finished my degree in communication sound, and I was in this medieval band. I was playing medieval music because I like medieval. I was really interested in not like the fantasy type, but like the historical medieval. But also, we would arrange songs, and I was actually studying jazz at McGill when we met. Yeah.
Well, I want to play another track from your latest album, Neon Bible. And the track I want to play is Intervention. So why don't we hear it, and then we'll talk about it. And my guests are Wynn Butler and Regine Chassan of Arcade Fire. And this track has an incredible pipe organ on it. So here it is, Intervention.
Money back somehow, and when you finally disappear,
That's Intervention from Arcade Fire's latest album, Neon Bible, and my guests are Wynn Butler and Regine Chasson from Arcade Fire. That track is really spectacular. I love the bigness of the organ and the kind of small chiminess of the xylophone. Is that a xylophone?
Yeah.
Yep.
And what are you each playing on this?
I'm playing the organ and singing the backups.
And I'm singing and playing guitar.
How did you decide that this song needed a pipe organ?
I mean, that's kind of the perfect example of kind of how we influence each other, because Regine had put an organ on one of her medieval songs and had a really powerful experience playing the organ. And she was playing the initial chords, which ended up turning into the song, and I heard it and just initially really felt strongly that it should be built around the pipe organ. And we played it live a couple times when we were touring the last record, but with a different sound, and it never quite, there was just something missing. And then we found this organ in Montreal, and we went in to play it, and it just made me cry hearing the chords on that instrument. It was just a really overpowering sound. So that's definitely an example of us kind of influencing each other, I think.
Regine, when you're playing that pipe organ, I imagine the vibration is so powerful that you feel it in your body, that your body resonates with the chords.
Yeah, that was pretty intense recording that song, because the way we had to do it is I had to play we couldn't record the entire band in the church, so we had to record the church organ separately, and me listening to the band on my headphones and playing the organ. But the delay, was so big because it's a big church, that I had to play basically blind and not listen to the sound that was coming in, but just it was like being the pilot of a plane but blindfolded.
What made you think of putting the bigness of the pipe organ together with the small kind of bell-like sound of the xylophone? They're such interesting contrasts.
Well, I kind of originally wanted the band to kind of sound like a stop on the organ, almost like, you know, there's this little tiny metallic band underneath this giant instrument. Because the bed tracks of the song were recorded very simply, actually in another small church, and you know, only a few microphones, and recorded live off the floor. And I kind of like the idea of taking this little live band and combining it with that huge sound.
Now, when I know that when you were studying at McGill University in Montreal, that you were a religion studies major?
Yep, religious studies.
How did that end up being your major?
I started out in fine art and photography and creative writing and stuff, and I ended up taking a lot more religion and philosophy classes as I went along, because I found that with music and art, I didn't really need school to make me do work. And with philosophy and religion, it was really useful to have the structure of school to force your, you know, like, it's really hard to read St. Augustine unless you have a paper due on it. You know, I mean, it's really interesting, but it takes a little pushing to really get through it. But I found it really, really interesting to study.
What was your family's religious life when you were growing up in Texas?
I went to church a bit. My mom's side of the family is religious, and my dad's side isn't. So it was kind of, my mom's side of the family are Mormon, but they're all musicians, so it's kind of like a martini drinking Mormons. That's the way I usually describe it. But I was kind of exposed to, you know, a lot of different religious beliefs.
What kind of music did you grow up with? What was it in your parents' or grandparents' collections?
My grandpa led a big band, and his wife was a singer in a group called the King Sisters. And pretty much my mom's whole family.
Your grandfather was Elvino Ray.
Yeah. So I was really influenced by him, actually, and my mom is a harpist, is a really excellent jazz harpist, So I was, you know, I think for me, being a musician was almost the most normal thing I could do. You know, it was like being an accountant or something like that. You know, there was never really any question in my mind. Like, I think a lot of times people who want to be in bands or go through a lot of struggles with like, oh, but how am I going to make a living? And it just seemed like, well, of course I could do that if I wanted to, but it was more a question if I wanted to do it.
Now, I'm thinking you grew up with some unusual instruments because your grandfather, Alvino Ray, played pedal steel guitar, which people don't grow up around, right? And your mother played harp, which is such a big and beautiful instrument, which most people don't grow up around.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely really, you know, I didn't really appreciate it as a kid. You know, my mom would be playing Debussy in the living room, and I'd be like, Mom, stop. I want to play Nintendo or whatever. You know, it's like now I can really appreciate it and see how unusual it was. But at the time, it was, you know, I think that whatever you grow up with, you kind of think is normal.
So did you ever see your grandfather, Alvino Ray, perform?
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of performing all the time. I never saw him perform with a big band except for on film, but
we played with him.
Yeah, we played with him. Regine got to play with him. He would always, whenever he would visit, he had his ham radio license from the time he was 8, so pretty much all day, every day, you just hear ham radio sounds, and then you'd hear this kind of Django Reinhardt guitar coming from his studio, and that was pretty much, you know, what he did all day. So, you know, like on 4th of July, he would wear these like American flag bathing suit and play like banjo medleys or play guitar or pedal steel or, you know, whatever. He was always in his basement. He actually taught himself to use Pro Tools and he was recording himself. Like
at 95.
Yeah, at 95.
Oh, wow. That's really great.
He was like always wanting to, he was always building electronic stuff. So he was like, you know, he always had the first VCR, the gigantic
disc
for television or whatever the newest thing was. You know, it's like he got the VCR when it was like $10,000 or whatever. You know, it's like,
did he make his own pedal steel guitars?
I think he kind of modified what the pedal steel was. Like, he was always kind of tinkering with it. He actually built one of the first prototypes of the electric guitar, which is at the Experience Music Museum in Seattle now, this lap steel. But he was like friends with Leo Fender and you know, was like very much at the forefront of that. I think he was kind of horrified with what happened with the electric guitar, but because he just kind of wanted to make it a little louder, and I don't think he ever fully got the whole rock. I even think he thought jazz combos were kind of a sellout.
Wynn Butler and Regine Chassan of the band Arcade Fire speaking with Terry Gross. We'll hear more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's interview with Wynn Butler and Regine Chassan of the band Arcade Fire. Their new album is called Neon Bible.
Regine, you know, I wanted to ask you how your family ended up leaving Haiti for Canada.
They left in the 60s during the Duvalier period. They both, like, independently, they didn't know each other. My dad and my mom didn't know each other. But they both had to, because, you know, political problems. And I guess, well, my grandpa got taken and killed from my dad's side. So they basically, my dad probably just like my dad's family just had to leave in a second, and so my mom too, because it was just like, that's the story of Haiti.
Well, I want to play another track from the new Arcade Fire CD, Neon Bible, and this track is called My Body Is a Cage. Now, I think of this as a great song about inhibition. I don't know if that was your intention, but that's certainly how it sounds to me. I mean, the lyric is, my body is a cage that keeps me from dancing with the one I love. Now, the song starts kind of quiet when your voice is either processed or it's intentionally off mic. I'm not sure exactly what you did to get that effect. But then deeper into the track, you know, the organ comes up full and there's this machine gun drumming that starts and it gets really big and powerful. Would you describe that shift a little bit?
Well, I mean, the kind of idea, because I play the pipe organ on that song, and Regine's playing the drums, and we kind of started out processing everything. There are these girls from Montreal who are in a small gospel group, and they're singing backing vocals, and it kind of started with kind of wanting the gospel choir to sound like robots and the pipe organ to sound like a Casio, and then to start with this really inhibited, small, processed thing, and then as the song goes, it kind of opens up and the real sounds kind of come out. So it's kind of mirroring the what the song's about.
Okay, why don't we hear it? So this is My Body is a Cage from Arcade Fire's album Neon Bible.
I'm living in
Body is a Cage from the latest Arcade Fire album, Neon Bible, and my guests are Wynn Butler and Regine Chasson from Arcade Fire. That's really another great track. How did you figure out a performing style that you would be comfortable with on stage? Like who you wanted to be on stage?
Well, it's always been very much dictated by the music. I mean,
yeah.
I remember when we first started playing loft shows and stuff in Montreal, it was more acoustic and there was like a very, you know, we didn't need a microphone for the accordion or the acoustic guitar because the rooms were so small. And I remember being really kind of interactive with the crowd and going into the crowds and singing. And I think it became more electric and we wanted to do something a little louder than the performance kind of changed to fit that.
Well, you now, like the band now goes into the audience at concerts and performs from the audience, but your audiences are sometimes really big, like Radio City Music Hall. So would you describe the sensation of performing in the middle of a really large audience?
It depends. I mean, sometimes, with the crowds getting larger, sometimes it's like, it really depends. Sometimes we don't do it that much anymore because like it got to the point where like Richard would be playing the bass and people would be like taking pictures with their cell phones and grabbing his arm. And it's just like at a certain point, it's like, well, I guess we can't do that anymore because you can't really play.
Yeah.
But with smaller shows, it's usually easier just because it's less intense. I think big groups of people act strangely. People mm-hmm. act differently than they would in normal life.
And that's not always a good thing.
Oh, it's fine. I mean, I think it's really interesting to be in a band at this time. And it's like, you see how much people are like mediating their experiences through their cell phones and through their cameras. It's like, yeah, no, I'm at the show right
I'm
now.
I'm right next to Regine.
They're singing the song right this second. It's like, you're ruining the song. No, right now, no, they're looking at me. Oh, they're looking at me here. I'm going to hold it up to you. And it's like, why don't you just have the experience and then have a memory of it instead of like telling your friend that you are maybe having a memory of something, you know? It's like, remember when I told you that I was having this experience? You know, it's pretty wild, you know, just everyone wants to photograph everything. I guess there'll be no major world event that won't be captured on cell phone video for the rest of time.
Well, great to talk with you. Congratulations on Neon Bible, and thank you so much.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wynn Butler and Rajin Shoshan of the band Arcade Fire speaking with Terry Gross. Their new album is called Neon Bible. I'm Dave Davies, and this is Fresh Air.